This is Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith.
Don't forget to support Radio EcoShock. Help pay those bills. You can donate at our website at ecoshock.org or at our show blog at ecoshock.info. We're going to pay a short visit to a man I'll call the Spreadsheet Farmer. His new book is The Laws of Physics Are on My Side, but he's not a physicist. He has training in anthropology instead. Walter Haugen is an educated wanderer. He's a former field worker, and he's turned into a food grower. Walter, why don't you tell us, where are you located and how much land do you have in production?
Okay, how you doing, Alex? I am located just outside of Ferndale, Washington. It's in the northwest corner of Washington State, so sometimes we call it the fourth corner. And we've got a little farm here. It's a diversified farm. I grow about 60 to 80 different crops, and it's on 5 acres, but I only intensively cultivate 1 to 2 acres, depending on the years. And so, for instance, this last year in 2012 was 1 acre, and then 1.5 that was actually tilled.
And you're doing it as community-supported agriculture as well? Like you're actually selling food out to other people from that amount of land?
Yes, I am. I sell a few CSA shares every year. Last year, I tried something new. I did a gift economy idea where I gave away free CSA shares to poor people and then asked for donations. Didn't get any, of course, but I did get one person who was willing to come out and put some time in. And then I also take in volunteers, and they come out and work, and I pay them in food.
Why are you aiming to go beyond organic?
Well, the thing is that both in keeping the soil clean, being a good soil steward, but also just the energy level requires us to go organic. I think Richard Heidenberg years ago said, don't even worry about organic, because in 50 years, everybody would be organic anyway. I grew up on a farm, and the inputs increased dramatically. The chemical fertilizer inputs increased dramatically after the war, and even more so in the 70s. And it's just, it takes so much energy, and the reason we are eating petroleum is because of not only the large amount of fuel in tractors, but also just the large amount of fuel that it takes to make the chemical fertilizers. And we don't need to do that. We can actually quantify sustainability. And when we do that, we see that the organic method is better.
Do you have a tractor? And if not, what machines are you using?
I don't have a tractor, and I have a BCS tiller. It's a walk-behind tiller, and it has a standard transmission, three speeds forward, two back. And it allows me to do an awful lot of work for very low inputs. So, for instance, I can grow 10,000 pounds of food on about 10 to 12 gallons of fuel every year, plus my own labor.
And you use your body as one of the tools of farming.
That's correct. I'm a biological anthropologist, and it's real clear to me that the most efficient engine we have is the human body. We can get an awful lot done on very low inputs. I work long days in the summer, but I don't put out an awful lot of energy. And so my metric is 125 kilocalories per hour, and you can produce an awful lot of food with that.
Well, Walter Haugen, what are your thoughts on the relationships between climate change and food production?
Well, unfortunately, climate change is in a positive feedback loop now, for instance, because of the adiabatic effect in the Arctic and others. And so we really have to deal with new crops, new varieties in the crops, new ways to grow food. For example, I have 30 different varieties of potatoes, but I'm also developed two new varieties myself using the seed ball technique that Luther Burbank used. And I'm developing new varieties of corn that are intrinsic to the Pacific Northwest here, because we're going to need to adapt these different crops and varieties to climate change. And climate change is not just more carbon dioxide or an overall increase in this area, for instance. It means longer, cooler springs. And so you have a germination problem. So you have to have seeds that will come up quick, things like that.
Well, I want to tip off listeners to a paper I found in your blog, and it was published in February 2013 by Tufts University, titled Climate Impacts on Agriculture, A Challenge to Complacency. It's by Frank Ackerman and Elizabeth A. Stanton. I'll put a link to that paper in my show blog at ecoshock.info, and we're going to give out your blog information pretty shortly. Well, I want to ask you what varieties of food you grow, but I realize that might take half an hour just to answer that one question. So instead, can you explain why you use a spreadsheet to keep track of what you produce?
Well, you know, I used to be an archaeologist, and I understand how data collection in the field can sort of tweak, or it impacts your methodology, it impacts your theory, it impacts your analysis. So you've got to be rigorous, and one of the ways to be rigorous is you start with a coherent vision of what you're doing. So, for instance, I have every variety and every succession planting I do has its own line in the spreadsheet. And this has the square footage. It has the variety, the days that it should be ready, you know, et cetera, and comments. And then in my harvest spreadsheet, I have, you know, how many pounds I get per acre of that. And everything is weighed as it comes in from the field in the shop. Everything's weighed, and I'm real rigorous about that because that's necessary. But once I have all this data, I can tell you certain things. For example, I can tell you that I'm in 2012, I was had a 25% increase in my efficiency. I had basically the same amount of food produced as 2011, but with only $1,500 instead of $2,000. So having all that data in a coherent fashion, in an orderly fashion, shall we say, helps you think in orderly way.
It is March in Washington State. What are you doing to prepare for the coming season?
Okay, right now I already have onions up in my seed flats and transplants, and I'm doing cabbages and other brassicas today, you know, broccoli and cauliflower. Soon, I'll towards the end of March, I'll be doing tomatoes, and then in April I'll be doing peppers and things like that. I can't get out into the field now because it's far too wet. You don't want to compact your soil and turn it into muck. So right now is my off-season. So, for instance, this time last year, I was writing my book.
Let's talk about that book. Why did you call it The Laws of Physics Are on My Side?
You know, since I'm an anthropologist and a farmer, you know, it appeared to me that the peak oil and the climate change people weren't looking at the intersection of culture and energy. And we've been cultural animals for 2 million years, and it's only in the last 150 million years that we've been able to replace cultural behaviors with just cheap oil energy. And now we just throw more oil energy at any and all problems, and we're losing our ability to adjust. It's as if cheap oil energy has replaced culture. And this is a problem because we're in peak oil now. We're using far too much energy, and it's changing the climate, and these are interactive variables. And so we need to do something different. And part of the book is, about a third of the book is analysis and two-thirds is solutions. And so I wanted to look at it from a historical perspective and also just, put a different spin on it. You know, people buy the modern narrative, you know, and they don't really look at what is actually happening. So, for instance, you know, we have each of us in the U.S., we have 91 energy slaves at our disposal because of the amount of oil and coal energy we use. And we could get by on much, much less, and we're going to have to in the future, I think.
Well, I appreciated in the back of the book some of your tips from experience about everything from fruit trees to the various vegetable crops that we might grow. Is the book available in electronic form? Where else can we get it? Do you have a website or a blog?
The book is on Amazon, both in a paperback and a Kindle version. And you can buy the Kindle version and download it. There are free apps, so you can download it to your computer and read it if you like. Or you can download it and get a free app for your iPad or your Android. So it's available for people, you know, instantly to read it, like, you know, while they're riding the subway, for instance. My website is www.fafarm.org, and that's mostly a static website. I don't blog much on there anymore because I've got other work to do. If you go to the Transition Whatcom site, which is transitionwhatcom.ning.com, you know, I have lots of blogs on there because, you know, since that's a local site and I'm involved locally, it's to my advantage to try and get my word out locally, see.
So you're involved in the transition movement?
Yes, I have been from the start here in Whatcom County. It's interesting because a lot of the stuff in the transition movement is just a recast of what we were doing in the early 70s. But, you know, hopefully they've got better marketing and they can sort of pull in more people from the perimeters, you know. Back in the 70s, we just, you know, it was difficult to get people on board. And hopefully the transition movement is addressing that. You know, there are pluses and minuses, as with any movement.
You know, I'd like to talk to you longer. We're sort of running out of time here. As we finish up, is there an idea or message that you'd like to add?
Well, the main thing is, as I close my book, you don't change your paradigm in your head. You change your paradigm by getting your hands in the soil. And that's what I think people need to do. Everybody needs to grow some of their own food. You can start with 5%. You can grow a 30 by 30 garden, or you can do some container gardening. But once you get your hands in the soil and actually observe how nature works, that will help change your paradigm and will, in, you know, be better for your survival.
So you can grow by growing. Well, Walter, thank you so much for talking with us.
Okay, you bet. Thanks, Alex.
You're listening to EcoShock Radio for the world.
I'm Alex Smith. Get it all at our website, ecoshock.org.